of heights to the depths of the sea.
Jesus said, and he answered, verse 4, and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined, notice, to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Here Jesus is quoting from Genesis.
Every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we...
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. The Pharisees wanted to talk about divorce and rabbinical opinions, but Jesus wanted to go back to the scriptures and talk about marriage. Jesus began with the first marriage, the one between Adam and Eve. The scripture's emphasis is on marriage rather than divorce, and is a wise approach for anyone interested in keeping a marriage together. Divorce can't be seen as a ready option when things are difficult in a marriage. Marriage is like a mirror. It reflects what we put into it. If one or both partners has divorce readily in their mind as a covenant option, divorce will be much more likely. Now here's Pastor Rob.
Can be a boy, and that a boy can have a menstrual cycle, and that a boy can even get pregnant. Did you know that? Many schools now have feminine hygiene products in the boys' restrooms. Folks, these people need Jesus. And I don't blame the kids so much. I blame their parents and their educators and those in the highest offices of our country. They are dead wrong. And what they're doing right now is they're poking God in the eye. And they had better turn from their sin, because God will deal with them harshly. He says, if you do anything to these little ones of mine, it would be better for you that a millstone were tied around your neck and you were cast into the midst of the Marianas Trench. That's what he said. It'd be better for you for that to happen. They're being seduced by demons and promoting doctrines of demons, allowing biological men, transgender women, to share the locker rooms and shower rooms of biological women. And the women are just going, "What? Why isn't somebody standing up for us?" It's unbelievable. Biological males competing in women's sports and nearly always getting the gold medal, smashing records. And now they say that a man can nurse a child. I've got videos and articles of all this stuff. I'm not making this up. But this ideology is devilish, and we're fighting hard to take back not only our public schools, but even Christian schools that have caved in to this demonic delusion. Does it sound like I'm frustrated and angry? I am, and I'm not going to lie to you. I am. But I know the solution is Christ, the truth of the gospel. And those who brazenly dare to oppose what God has clearly stated in his word. They have. What does it tell us in Genesis? You can turn there, but I'm just going to read it to you quickly for the sake of time. This is what God says in Genesis 1:24. God says, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. Do you follow me? There's no evolution here. There's kinds. Okay? There's an animal kingdom. There's a fish and of birds and of animals, and they all have their, and they were all created. And God said, let us make man in our image. He wasn't schizophrenic. He was speaking of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let him have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them, period, exclamation point. Right? Men and women. He created them male and female. And then notice, God blessed them. He blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food, also to the every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. And then notice verse 31. God saw everything that he had made. Indeed, it was very good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. 24-hour period. The word is yam, one 24-hour period. He did all that in one day. And there is no valid science behind the gender cult, is there? There really isn't. They don't have a leg to stand on. But many objective and honest doctors admit that this is a mental and spiritual problem, and it cannot be solved through hormone injections, puberty blockers, or transitional surgery. Do you know that those who have gone through transitional surgery are 17 times more likely to commit suicide than the average person? 17 times more after they have the surgery, and many of them want to go back, but they can't because it's already done. And many young people have to have ruined their lives, and the school systems and the parents and authorities in our country are saying, this is all good, and you don't even have to have your parents' permission. Just tell us. Children of the state of the Soviet Union. Does that sound familiar? That's what's happening. So parents, grandparents, and I'll be off this horse in just a second. Parents and grandparents, educate yourself. Educate yourself. Get involved with what is happening at the school board meetings in your town. Form or join groups and committees and fight to root this cancer out of the schools. Fight lawfully. I'm not talking about guns and violence, okay? Just to be safe here. We're not talking about violence. We're talking about using words and showing up and being present and holding people accountable. Be brave, because the truth is on your side. God is on your side. Amen? So don't be afraid when they cancel you and they call you a racist or a bigot or a hater. They did all these things to Jesus too, but don't worry. Don't you worry. Jesus said, and he answered, verse 4, and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined, notice, to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Here Jesus is quoting from Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, and he says, and it says in Genesis 2, verse 21, the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. It was nap time for him. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. That's literally what woman means. The word woman means taken out of man. That rib that God, he didn't need to create another human being. He already created Adam. He just need, for whatever reason, he took it. And I wonder if it was from the left side too, right where the heart is. Wouldn't that be interesting? We don't really know which side, but my hunch is that's probably right there underneath the heart, or right there covering the heart. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh. Ever since the beginning of time, this has been the normal and natural course of men and women, hasn't it? So why now? Think about this. I want you to think about this. Why now, after over 7,000 years, is there just this dramatic shift, specifically in the last 3 years? Why is there this dramatic shift? Because we're being bamboozled. America's being lied to. We're being deceived by federal and state authorities. We're being deceived by the media and leaders, even some of them in the medical profession, not all of them. And certainly not all of them in the others either. There's some good, really good people in these places, don't get me wrong. All right, I'm done with that. Everyone's going, oh, thank God. It needs to be said. And I'm not afraid to say it, because I believe it with all of my being. And I believe I have the Spirit of God on that. Not because I'm anything, but because he said it. And if Jesus were here, I wonder what would happen. Physically, he's allowing them this space to turn from their sin, and it's grave, because it's kids. It's kids. It's your kids. It's your grandkids. But speaking of this becoming, you know, two becoming one flesh, I want to share something with you that's really interesting. In Jewish wedding customs, and it's also true in many other countries in the world, weddings were arranged, and the parents of the young man and the young woman would arrange the marriage. And in a Jewish wedding custom, there would be a betrothal period of 1 year where the couple would legally be married, but they weren't allowed to consummate the marriage physically. And we saw this in the betrothal period of Joseph and Mary. Remember when Mary became pregnant during that 1 year betrothal period. So the contract had been signed between the parents. Joseph and Mary were legally married, but they were not to consummate the marriage. And now she is pregnant and she says, well, the Spirit of God came inside of me, and you know, and that's what, you know, that's where the okay. Can you imagine how that shattered Joseph? Nobody believed her. And there she was. And at the end of that year, had the Holy Spirit not spoken to Joseph in a dream, he would have put her away quietly. He would have divorced her quietly. He didn't want to make a spectacle of her because he was a good man. But had not the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to him in a dream, he would have done that. And so during that year of betrothal, the groom, he would prepare a home for him and his bride. And as I say this, I want you to be thinking about our relationship with Christ. Didn't he say that I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you might also be? So while we await for our husband, our groom, to come for us, the bride of Christ, he's preparing a place for us, just like the Jewish wedding custom. And during that year betrothal, he is building a house for his bride. And then at the end of that year, the groom would, unannounced and according to his father's command, he would go and retrieve his bride and bring her back to his own home, which he had prepared for her. And the bride, think of how hectic this is, ladies. She had no idea when that day would be. You know, I would imagine she probably had her wedding dress there hanging on a hook by the door and a little mirror with all of her little makeup bag, right? And she's just waiting for hear that sound, the procession coming. Ah! And then she's, you know, putting her thing on and, you know, putting on her dress and, you know, putting the corset on and all that. And she has no idea. At any moment, he could be coming. And isn't that true for us? We wait for Christ. Any moment he could return for us. But what does he tell us? To be ready. To be ready. And she had to be ready too, because when he came to the door and knocked, she needs to open that door and be radiant. And he would take her. And there would be a 7-day festival of both families, and they would enjoy each other, and they would consummate the marriage. There would be a big wedding feast. Does that sound familiar? And folks, Christians, that's true for us. That's what's coming to a theater near us. In stereo, where available, right? But even in our culture, a man is to leave his parents' home and then, once married, leave and cleave to his wife in their own home together and to begin a family. This is what it is all about. It's always been about that from the very, very beginning. And marriage is something that, from time immemorial, this has been the way it is and has been. And marriage is something, again, that God created. He invented it. And it's between one, and I have to say this, forgive me if I'm a broken record, marriage is between one biological male and one biological female. Okay, that's what God meant, right? And God does not accept or condone marriage in any other way. He will not. He will not accept it in any other way than what he has spoken. And we don't have the right to change or alter what God has ordained. If we do, we do it at our own peril. God wants us to choose life. What does he tell us in Deuteronomy? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 15, before the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan into the promised land, what did God tell Moses to tell the children of Israel? He said, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. Why? That you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live." That's God's prescription. We are obedient to his word, and we're obedient to his definition of what love is. And the definition of love in our culture is so crazy. What is love to you? Well, if he buys me the diamond ring and gets me the car and has a nice house, and I also want that gym fitness thing, I want that 3 years now. You know, is that what love is? Or is love sacrificial? Is love other-centered? Is love willing to be benevolent and give, even, you know, with no concern about the person themselves, but more about the concern of somebody else? That is what love is. That is what real agape love is. It's self-sacrificing. It's not even concerned about self at all. Self doesn't even have any, it's not even in the picture. It's about the other. That's what love is, and that's what the world doesn't understand. And see, that's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is so important. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We couldn't merit it. We couldn't do it. But God loves people, doesn't he? And he wants you to live. He wants you to live a long, wonderful life. You know, even in the animal kingdom, God created great sea creatures, every living thing that lives, moves, and which the waters have abounded. And according to their kind, God made them. He saw that it was good, and God blessed them. And he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." And God repeated the same thing in Genesis 1 and verse 27. We've already looked at it. Be fruitful and multiply. Subdue all things. And see, a person involved in a homosexual relationship cannot fulfill that command. They can't do it. God made them male and female for a reason, for procreation, to fill the earth, to have dominion over it. Now, does he love those people? He does. But whether there's fornication, heterosexual fornication, or homosexual fornication, it makes no difference to God. It's all sin, right? But he's created us with a design and a purpose. And when we follow, when we are obedient to that, we receive the blessings of obedience. And there's a conscience. You know this word conscience? Have you ever laid down at night and your conscience was completely defiled, or your conscience was completely tweaked so that you couldn't sleep because it was on your heart, on your mind, you wrestled with it all night, and finally it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you're like, man, I got to do something. Because your conscience is not clear. It's because we've been disobedient. But oh, the joy of being obedient and being able to rest my head on the pillow at night, knowing that I got my account straight with God. And I can lay my head on the pillow and say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for everything. And by the way, here are a few things that I'm aware of, Lord. I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And Lord, whatever else I missed, you cover in the blood of Christ. And then you sleep like a baby because you believe that because you've confessed it, he has forgiven you. Because that's a promise the Bible makes, is it not? 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If you confess it, he'll forgive you. But the institution of marriage is sacred. God holds it in high esteem. In fact, the Apostle Paul shows us this very clearly. And not only does he hold it in high esteem, he holds it in high esteem because of its prophetic significance. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 tells us this. And he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Notice, he's going to be comparing our relationship as husband and wives with that of the Lord and the church himself. And he goes on and he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And now he turns the table on the husbands and says, you're next, guys. Husbands, love your wives. Agape your wives. Self-sacrificing love. Putting her first. Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. He gave himself, didn't he? And gave himself for her, there it is, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. And he goes on in verse 30 and he says, for we are members of his body, of Christ's body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. But then he says something really interesting in verse 32. He says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Do you see that? The husband and wife, that relationship and how that ought to work is the same as Christ in the church. And so as you begin to think about Christ, and you begin to think about us as church, and what he has done for us, and what he's doing for us, and what he has yet to do for us, gentlemen, husbands, let's be thinking about that and say, boy, that's a tall order now for me. And of course it is. And you can't do it in your own flesh. That's why you got to surrender. Let the Lord do it through you. Love your wives sacrificially. Love them. And even when you don't feel like it, have you ever felt like that? I think it's, you know, the devil will call you a hypocrite if you do this, but trust me, don't listen to him, by the way. Let me just give you a hypothetical scenario. You're coming home from work, guys. You've had a bad day. You don't, you know, you're going to go home and you're going to take off your shoes and you're going to grab a glass of iced tea and you're going to sit in, you know, in your favorite chair. But instead, you this little thing inside, you know, why don't you just stop by? Stop by the store and get your wife some flowers. Get her some flowers and maybe a favorite drink from her favorite place that she likes to get. You know, go to Dunkin' Donuts or whatever and get her that spice mocha latte pumpkin thing, spice. And so you do. You just do it on a whim. You do it on a whim. You didn't even think about it, really, but you're like, you know, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do it. I don't feel like it. I feel horrible.
That's the end of our study for today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester's sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.